Welcome back to Rome Boys. On this episode, we got Father Frankie in the bar. No.
Oh, here we go.
In the house.
Yeah. A little bit of both. You know?
Yeah. I think it's going to tie in. Joe does it in the greatest ways.
Well, yeah, it's a nice segue.
Yeah, there you go.
It's an amazing testimony. So we want him to just get.
Yeah, we're just going to like ask him to start, and we're going to walk off.
I mean, first I'm just so grateful.
Because I'm going to be over there crying is why. Yeah. You know, it's just
me too. You know what I mean? First off, guys, thank you so much for being able to have me on
and the opportunity to share
what God's done within my own life.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, I super grateful to be able to grow up like in a Catholic home, you know, altar server, loved it.
Arizona, correct?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We're from Texas, so it's hot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, 118s in the summer, you know. Lord's a consuming fire, you know, and so we feel him. He's always around. But yeah, in the midst of that, just being able to grow up in the Catholic faith, and sure. I just had a natural inclination for the Lord. I just love Jesus. I always just want to give my heart to him, you know. And it was interesting because my dad is 100% Sicilian. So he's got like a ton of that machismo, right? And God, tears, and emotions were super hard for him. But for me, God, tears, and emotions were basically my world. Okay. Like, that's where I existed. And it created great conflict and division with my dad. Mm-hmm. Like, my desire for the Lord actually angered my father. And obviously, like, any kid, any son desires the approval of their dad, you know?
It's innate, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, something you don't grow out of either.
No, never, you know, to be able to experience the Father's love, his blessing, his approval upon you. And so so growing up, even though I loved the Lord, I always desired my dad's approval. And I remember 18 years old, my dad pulled my family aside. And he just looked at us and he says, "I don't want you anymore. Like, I'm leaving." Hmm. And right before he leaves, I remember he intentionally grabs me and pulls me aside, and he just looks right at me. And he says, "You were never the son I wanted."
Gosh, the worst thing to possibly say to another human being.
Yeah. He's like, "You are not good enough to be my son." Mm-hmm. And I was broken. My heart was shattered. And I remember the next day, we come to find out that my dad basically has been addicted to drugs, to meth particularly, for a while.
Oh.
And he actually has a mistress and like even kind of almost like a second family, so to speak, on the side. And, you know, unbeknownst to us, he's been transferring bills into my mom, into my name. He's been stopping payment and putting money into this kind of other second life. And here we go. We have all this debt. Didn't even know about it. We lose our home, lose our vehicles, right? We were kind of like homeless and not knowing what to do. Have to get on food stamps. And just in a week to 2 weeks time, my whole life was sort of flipped upside down. And I was angry. I mean, I was angry at the Lord.
How old were you?
I was 18. Yeah, I was 18 years old, you know. And so I was about to go into Arizona State University and during this time. And so, I had it out with the Lord. I mean, I remember I was praying. I was screaming. I'm like, "Lord, I've literally done everything you've asked. Like, no drugs, no alcohol. Yeah. I want to save myself to marriage. Like, I just love you, and this is what you give me, right?" And the reality was I blamed the wrong person. I blamed God when I should have been blaming my dad. But I blamed God, and I just ran. I was like, "Lord, I want nothing to do with you. Like, I'm done."
Wow.
And so I was looking, right, for a place where I could find approval. Because I couldn't find it in my dad, couldn't find it in the Lord, I thought. And so I jumped into everything that the world says brings happiness. Drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, everything.
Right?
Yeah, completely. And I literally was like, "I need to find this, like, love that I can't find in these places I thought I was going to." And so my life literally just came about medicating, you know, trying to create like a whole different reality, you know, because I just couldn't deal with my life, you know. And so I remember my mom, she was the only one in my family. My sister fell away at some point. I obviously fell away. My dad completely. And my mom kept the faith.
Yeah.
It was, she would call me all the time, and when I'd see her, she'd be like, "Frankie, like, the Lord's got a plan. The Lord completely has a plan. He is going to take care of us. He's going to draw good out of this." And I'd be like, "Mom, I don't want to hear it."
Right.
Like, she goes, no, "You're going to hear it because Jesus loves you." And she like, and I was so grateful looking back. She was so persistent. Hmm. Even though I would struggle, she just always wanted to tell me about Jesus. Hmm. And even in the midst of that, I just didn't want to hear it. And this particular life led me basically being a bartender at a rock and roll Western Mechanical Bull Bar in Scottsdale, Arizona. You know, of course.
Right. You know, the counseling starts.
Exactly. Right? You know, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty popular bar.
So you were already hearing confessions at the bar.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh yeah, it was great. I had so much like content prepared.
Sure.
I was able to like, I'm like, oh yeah, this is it. It was easy. You know. Oh yeah.
Stories.
It was great, and it wasn't just like, you know, 50 people. There's like 3,000 people. Yeah. You know, Friday, Saturday nights, you know, and it was good. It was dark. Obviously, you couldn't see everyone completely, you know, so just perfect.
The screen was already
there. It was there. You know what I mean? The blinders were there.
Yeah.
Right.
The blinders,
you know?
Indeed. Yeah.
But I remember it was wild. I remember one night, it was a Saturday night, one in the morning. I'm making drinks. And again, this was a very popular bar that you just don't have time to like talk to people a ton. And you're just like heads in a well. You know what you want? Next person.
Yeah.
And so as I'm just making drinks, heads in a well, I'm going for it. In this one moment, just physically felt pushed back. And again, people are not close to me, right? We have a bar in front of us, right? I'm like literally feeling pushed back. Mm-hmm. And as I remember, I took this step back, I lift up my head, everything goes slow. Like legit slow motion, to the point that people are grabbing their drinks and like slowly bringing it up. Even the bowl, I remember I looked out and the bowl was just like, super slow. Up
see the guy
bar.
Falling off in slow
motion. Like in slow motion. But it was wild because I was like, what is going on? Like, everything is slow motion. Upstairs bar, patio bar, packed. And in this moment, I remember I was like, I have everything that the world says brings happiness. I have as much money as I would need. There's this kind of party lifestyle that I had access to whenever I wanted. There was even like a fame. It was interesting. People would come up to me and they're like, I wish I was you. I wish I had your life. And I'm like, you don't even know me.
Right,
you know nothing
about
me, right? But like the appearance of what must my life have been of looking at this. And I remember I was like, I am more lonely, I'm more broken, and I flat out hate who I am. And it was in that moment, the first time in 6 years, that I prayed to God.
Wow.
1 a.m., darkness of a bar, 3,000 people. I cried out to the Lord, and I was like, Lord, I am worse without you than I ever was with you. I'm back. What do you want with my life? And that was what began me to literally, like, I'm done. I quit the bar, and I...
I'm guessing he didn't say old-fashioned?
No.
Okay.
No, he did not say old-fashioned. Yeah, I was grateful for that one, yeah. But no, I couldn't go back. I remember in that moment, I was like, I can never go back.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing was, like, I didn't know what to do. But I'm super blessed to have a priest actually in my family. He's a priest in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, Father Charles Canterna. And so I hopped on a plane to Baltimore. I got off the plane. I just call him Chucky. I was like, Chucky, there is no. I need guidance. I need counsel. I'll do whatever you want. And he just kind of gave me this like spiritual boot camp that ultimately led to confession. Now, I mean, I had the sacraments, but this was like my first like real, raw confession. And I remember I just like for 2 hours just bawled, told the Lord everything.
It was a Father Calloway moment.
Oh yeah. It
I
was just
only converts could have those, you know? That's I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, I know that. And but I remember there is this distinct fear. Because remember, like my dad years prior was like, you're not good enough for my son. You're not the son that I wanted, right? So I still had those like lies. In my heart, in my mind.
Wrong.
And so here I am going before the Father through the gift of the priest to experience his forgiveness. And I'm so afraid now that I finally bore everything. I finally shared everything. And I'm so afraid that he's going to say the same things. That he's going to be like, you've sinned too much. Right? Like, you're not good enough.
Whoa.
Like, I don't want you.
Your hands went to Chris and your hand went to me. And both of us have the same background. Not only as intense, but with fathers.
Absolutely.
And I was just scared, you know? And I remember... I remember in the moment of absolution, just experiencing the Father being like, my son, like, get up.
Yeah.
Like, sin no more. I love you. And it was the first time in, my goodness, like 6 years that I felt like everything was going to be okay. You know, like I stopped running and I felt at peace, you know. And I remember when I got back, I literally get off the plane, off the jetway. I step into the Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. And I'm like, Lord, I could be a married man living for you, I could be a priest living for you. I don't care. I'll do whatever you want. Just tell me.
Which terminal and which plane do you want me to take?
It literally was like that. It was just like, I had one question and one question only. What do you want with my life? Well, do anything you want. I don't care. Just tell me. And so I remember I went to St. Timothy's Catholic Church, which is wild because it's actually where I'm now assigned. Which is just wild,
that's
right?
Cool.
So, totally. Yeah. So I went to St. Timothy's and I went for the Blessed Sacrament. And I quit my job. I had all this time. I had financial, I had some money, so I didn't need to worry about work. And I looked legit for 3-4 hours every day, would go in the chapel. I'd bring food, go outside, eat it really quickly, and go back in. And I would ask the Lord, what do you want? I'd sit there, kneel there, read scripture,
there until I get an answer.
Lives of the saints. No, literally, I would tell the Lord,
Lord,
tell me.
Your servant is listening.
And absolutely, the whole time. And I'm like, okay, you didn't say anything today? Fine, I'll come back tomorrow. Didn't say anything today? Fine, I'll come back tomorrow. And it was 10 weeks.
See you tomorrow.
Every day.
Wow,
no
that's
joke.
Intense.
Oh, yeah. Because I was just I can't go back here, and I don't know where I'm going here, but you're the only one that can tell me, so I'm not going to leave, and I'm not going to keep pushing in until you tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Dead.
The whole time. And I remember, I don't know, 10 weeks goes by and stuff, and so I'm talking to Chucky on the phone, because, we're talking, daily, because I'm what do I do? How do I even, because you have to understand.
What does this even look like?
Well, you think about the reality. For 6 years, I've been just living in the world, completely, and all of a sudden, it's I have this conversion, I'm living for God, what is prayer? What does this even look like? Yeah. I don't even know what I'm doing, and so I'm super grateful that he was able to, walk with me, but, around, 10 weeks, I was talking on the phone outside of St. Timothy's. And I just have this experience, just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon me as I'm talking, which was hilarious actually, because he had no idea that I'm crying and I'm trying to hold it together. And I'm having this experience of the Lord where I believe the Lord was my priest, be my priest. And so I was Chucky, I gotta go. He's okay, bye. And hung up the phone. He has no idea. And I'm freaking out.
I've got this twisted image of a Father Chucky.
He's way cooler than you can imagine.
Okay.
He's a prison chaplain in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. He works with death row and life inmates. It is insane. Oh yeah. It's a wob. He's been doing that for almost 40 years.
God.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it is. His story is absolutely amazing. But so I get off the call and I end up going back in the chapel. And I remember I kneel before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And I'm like, Jesus, I know you've called me to be your priest, but you're such a loving and merciful God. Is there any way you can give me a physical sign? I was just like, please, right?
Yeah.
And I'm kneeling, I have my Bible in my hand, and I close my eyes. And I open the Bible, open my eyes, I look down. And the first words I saw were, follow me. Matthew 9:9, the call to Matthew, the tax group, no joke. And I wrote, August 8th, 2009.
In the Bible.
Confirmation priesthood. Yeah, and I still have that Bible. And you know what's crazy about this? It was the Bible my mom gave me in 2008. And I never really ever picked it up before that, right? And then my conversion, and it was the Bible. Mom wrote a whole note in it and everything and stuff like that, so I still have it, right? And she poured into me. But I wrote that, but the next day I thought it was just even crazier. It was because I'm living for the world, and all of a sudden 3 months goes by, and I'm I'm supposed to be a priest, and so I go to a different chapel, and I'm like, Jesus, awesome. I'm all about this. Priesthood sounds great.
I'm in,
Lord.
Yeah.
But how do I do this? How do you become a priest? I was literally is there a number I call?
Right.
Is this a number? Yeah. What do I do?
1-800-CALLER.
Seriously. I didn't know.
Caller, not caller.
You know what I mean? Both, right? But as I'm going out, I feel prompted kind of turn a little bit. And as I'm about to leave the chapel, I turn and I see this legit poster, and it says, want to be a priest? Call this number. And I'm like, no way. I'm freaking out. I'm like, I turn back and you're like, thanks, I appreciate that. You know what I mean? But it was a vocations poster.
Now I have that song in my head. I saw the sign.
There it was. Hey, you know what? I just asked and he just answered the questions. I'm like, thanks, Lord. Yeah. But I wrote down the number, wrote down the email, and basically that's kind of how it started, and moving towards priesthood. So
just love it when you get an answer to that. Clearly.
The Lord, the Lord was like,
does
I was.
Does it always work that way for you?
No. Come on,
in the
beginning, the Lord made it super clear. But even in the midst of seminary, right, it was there was still such a battle. There was still such a difficulty and having to choose the Lord every single day when it wasn't.
Oh, sure.
Right? When it gets real. Oh, yeah. When you're scared, when you're man, when you look at when you see even the brokenness of your own self, and you're like, man, I can't do this. Are you kidding me? No way. Like,
how
I can't
pour into everybody else, right?
You know, and being like, Lord, like, I'm a total dang mess.
You know, I am a train wreck.
You're like, I am a train wreck, and you want me to go talk to people about you and assist them? I'm like, I need you to assist me. Like, I can't do this, you know? And that moment, there was just so much outpouring of the Lord's, like, grace and his love and his presence. And he was really clear. And it's not like he pulled away, but I also had to fight for the Lord, to fight for my relationship with Jesus, you know?
There's a pressure of perfection, I think, in us as men.
Yes.
No matter what vocation we choose. Mm-hmm. I mean,
we're going to be the best and hopefully for the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
To provide for your family.
Yeah.
And, you know, for your family.
I wanted to rock it out for the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was there. I'm like, well, I want everyone to know you.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, I was like, I just like, it was just like, this is, I'm like, Lord, I want to run. Mm. I want to burn for you, you know? And at the same time, it's like, I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes as men, we don't like talk about that, but it's like, man, like I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm scared of like my brokenness. I'm scared of failing. I'm scared of not being enough. You know, I'm scared of you know, just not being able to fulfill, I feel, the desires that God has put upon my heart, you know? But in that, I found such a great comfort and gift in the Lord of experiencing, like, my own, like, our own Father, right? Of being like, Abba. Like, I love the line of Romans 8:15 where it says, you have not received a spirit of fear to fall back into slavery, but a spirit of adoption to cry, Abba, Father. But to cry.
Yeah.
To cry out, like, Abba. Yeah. You know, so many times I'm like, I'm scared. I'm like, Abba. I'm scared.
Yeah.
Like, Abba. I don't feel like enough. Abba, I can't do this, right? But that experience of, like, crying out to the Father.
That's prayer.
Right? Like, as a man in that brokenness, and I think so many of us can relate in that, you know, whether we can, like, whether we actually cry out or not, but that experience of just feeling inadequate, feeling broken, you know, being scared.
Vulnerability.
Yeah.
Yeah, God can do his best work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Well, we're seeing it in the world today. It's like, where is the Catholic faith just exploding?
Mm.
The places where it's being persecuted. And,
yes.
And, you know.
Yes.
And so we have that old persecution of ourselves.
Yeah.
And that brings us to him.
Yeah.
You know, just have that explosion. Absolutely. This has been great.
Yeah.
This has been great. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for allowing me to share it.
The power of testimony. If every Catholic would just say their testimony.
Yeah.
You know, just everyone's got
it. But that's literally what it was all about. I mean, some people ask me, like, what's evangelization? And I was like, and I always go back in the Gospel of Mark with the demoniac, right, where the Lord Jesus, like, casts out, sets free, heals this particular man who is possessed by a legion of demons, right? And he's set free, he's encountered the Lord, and he's like, let me follow you. Mm-hmm. And the Lord Jesus is like, no, I want you to go back to your family, to your home, and I want you to tell them everything I did for you. Go tell them how I had mercy on you.
Tell them your story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, that's the evangelization.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord wants you to go back to your friends, your family, your home, and he wants you to share who you were, what did he do, and who are you now?
Mm.
That's what evangelization is. I'm like, that's it. It's testimony.
Oh.
And, that's, and so it's like, yeah, and sometimes we're like, well, I don't have something to share. We all have something to share. And everything we have to share is unique, and it's going to touch people's hearts. It's going to touch people's lives, even whether it's something like crazy dramatic or it's not.
Yeah.
If God's a part of it, it'll bear fruit, because that's what he does, you know? Amen.
So, done. This trip, this is the pinnacle right here. I don't think it could get any better than this.
Well, that's my heart, honestly. I mean, like, I was lost, you know? I was rejected. I was cast aside, you know, and like the Lord, like, didn't forget about me.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's like, anyone.
You were
like,
the one lamb that was missing, or the lost coin.
And it's like, I want to go back in there, and I want to tell people about him. You know,
yeah.
Those that are on the fringes, those that feel lost, those that don't feel like the Lord could love them in that. And I'm like, let me tell you, let me introduce you to him. You know, so it's like my heart just burns for people to know Jesus.
The worse, the better, right? Like that's the one you would just want to reach in and say, it can be so much better than what you even can ever imagine.
He's always better than we can imagine. He's bigger than we think. And he will fulfill our hearts more than we could ever dream.
Amen. Cannot give him, cannot love
never.
Him.
Just, never. Oh, oh man.
I mean, has your bishop heard your story? I mean, like, I'm like, put you with Pastor.
So it's interesting. So,
with the broken. I mean, like, yeah. Oh, like, you know, into the prisons.
So the my previous bishop, so we had a bishop for, oh, gosh, I mean, I think 15, maybe a little more, a little bit less. Bishop Thomas Olmsted was our bishop of the Diocese of Phoenix for so long. He just newly retired. So around a year, almost a half, I think, we have a new bishop, Bishop John Dolan. Okay. And so I haven't had the opportunity to be able to obviously sit down and talk as much. I mean, we've had some time together, but he's been doing such beautiful work of trying to actually just get to know the priests, the parishes, and traveling around. You know what I mean? And so,
knows your story.
Well, since he watches our show, we'll share this with him.
Please, you know what I mean? Like, I know that you guys, like, you're on first name basis. Absolutely, feel free. You know, but I mean, I think it just
everybody has to have a hero. You know,
absolutely. You know, but I think that like
he looks up to us.
I mean, something that I was noticing on this cruise was crazy is just, it's amazing when you give your yes to the Lord. Like, the adventure he takes you on. An adventure that you just can't even imagine, right? I mean, it was funny. People are like, how'd you even get on this cruise? I was like, well, there was, like, a Good News conference in Phoenix. And I had some friends that were actually doing ministry. And they were like, hey, you want to grab some coffee? So I didn't even go to the conference. I wasn't even about the conference. I literally was just, like, went to go get coffee with, like, some of my friends. And they're like, hey, we got an extra spot. Do you want to come back tonight? And I was like, well, I got parish work. Let me see. And so I ended up, like, going back. I was able to. Caught Father Mike's talk, which was sweet.
Yeah.
And my friends were like, hey, I want to introduce you to somebody. I was like, okay. And it happened to be John Hale, who was, like, the head of, like, corporate travel.
Yeah,
like,
here we go.
But here's the thing. I don't know anything. I don't know John Hale. I don't know corporate travel, Good News Cruise, nothing.
Just a dude. Yeah.
Just a dude, right? And he, like, I introduced with, like, in, like, I don't know, maybe 45 seconds. He, like, grabs the contact info 2 weeks later, shoots me a text, lets me know about this, and now I'm legit in the Bahamas. So it's like, I went for coffee, and I'm in the Bahamas. Right, so it's just
that wasn't
like,
on the menu.
Right, yeah, right. You know what I mean? So I'm just like...
I want a cappuccino, not not a Bahama bus, you know?
I said Americano. What is this Bahamas thing?
Bahamas thing, but I mean, that's just this, like, I can't make this stuff up.
No,
nobody You know what I mean? Like, that's the adventure of the Lord. That's the adventure he calls us to, you know?
Saying yes.
Like, in the valleys and on the mountaintops.
Yeah, sure.
It's always an adventure, no matter what. Whether Mary's it's tears or laughs. Adventure.
Joseph's yes.
Yeah.
I mean, just look through it.
I mean, we're like continuing in the fidelity of the lives of the saints, the fidelity of our Lord Jesus, the fidelity even of those of Israel gone before us. And we're like in that, right? Of the Lord continually pouring out. And like, it's this, we're like, we are in communion with the first yes of the Father saying, I want you, of pouring out through his Son creation.
Yes.
You know, within Adam and Eve, I want you. We're in that line.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about Satan being stricken from heaven, you know, because what did he say? Basically, no to Jesus because I'm not going to serve a man.
Yeah.
And it's just the opposite of Mary,
absolutely.
Right?
Thank you for being here. I just appreciate your passion and your energy. Just,
thank you.
I feel like I'm pumped up right now.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know whether to just just start yelling from the rooftop here about Jesus or go to the workout room.
I'm not sure. You know what I mean?
Give me the megaphone.
Yeah.
So in the meantime.
Be bold.
Be real.
Be Catholic.
God bless. Amen.
And may the Lord bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.